Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. If this is your first podcast, welcome. And I am not Dawn Davis Womack. Now, if this is not your first listen, then you already know that I am not Dawn Davis Womack. No, I am Brandi Lindsay, a musician and radio DJ for Q101, a top 40 station here in Harrisonburg. I've been a previous guest on this podcast, so after you listen to this one, you better hightail it to episode number 20. That's where you'll find me. But today we're actually doing something different and flipping the script on you. And the reason that Dawn Davis Womack is talking to you right now is because, well, she is the person we're interviewing this week. Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Brandi.
Yes, Dawn is the host of this podcast, but, you know, it's time for us to ask her those hard-hitting questions. So we're flipping the script. And if you didn't know, Dawn is a comedian, producer, and podcaster. In 2016, she took comedy classes at Stand Up Studios DC to face her fears of doing it and got hired professionally out of their graduation showcase from somebody in the audience. That's pretty wild. So far, she's performed in DC, LA, and throughout Virginia. Summer, she opened for Lachlan Patterson in the first comedy shows inside the caves at Melrose Caverns. I was there. It was a lot of fun. A little chilly, but a great time. And then she started X2 Comedy in 2018. And last year launched the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, which you are listening to right now, a podcast about all things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley. Dawn, welcome to your show.
Thank you, Brandi. It's great to be on here.
Yeah, I guess you would have been here anyway, but not in this role reversal.
No, and you know what's really great about this role reversal is when I interviewed you at the end, when we stayed on after the recording and chatted a little bit, you said, you know what you need to do? You need to reverse this, flip the script, and have somebody interview you. And I thought, that's a really cool idea. Do you want to do it? And you said, yes, if you contact me next year, I will. And here
and
we are.
I completely forgot about it until you texted me. And I was like, huh, I guess I did say that.
I even
and here we are.
That's right. I put it in my Google task calendar and it popped up.
What would we do without technology?
I don't know. I could throw it out the window lots of times myself.
All right. Well, we are recording on technology, so don't do that just yet. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right.
Wait, I'll at control. Least until this is done.
I will control myself.
So first off, let's start with, before we get into, you know, the heavy stuff, or I don't know, this first question might be heavy too. Start with just who Dawn Davis Womack is. You're a comedian. We know you're a producer. We know you're a podcaster, a mother as well.
Yes. Wife,
but who is Dawn?
Who is Dawn? Dawn is a hot mess. Dawn is a hot mess who's been through a lot of stuff and a trauma survivor who's healing. So anybody out there that's gone through some tough stuff, just know it's never too late to heal. Maybe one day as we continue growing in the comedy career, we'll be able to blend those two. And so, but I am the oldest of seven children. I lost my father tragically 3 days before my freshman year in college. He fell off our second story deck and was in a coma for 8.5 months before he passed. So that was very traumatic to the entire family, the ages of the kids at the time of his accident. I was 18 and then 17, 13, 11, 5, 3, and 2 years old.
Wow, that really changes your role as big sister.
It did. It did. And it changed trajectory, had an effect on my collegiate career. Mm-hmm. I was an acting major at the time with big Hollywood dreams that I wanted to pursue. But the trauma had a big effect on my involvement in school. And long story short, I ended up with a undergraduate degree and graduate degree in exercise science. So, because that makes perfect sense.
So the first question was heavy.
It was heavy. It was. I met my son's father there. That relationship didn't work out. It ended in a divorce. And then I remarried when my son was 6 years old to the, you know, JMU's funny professor that hosts a bunch of our X2 comedy shows. This past August 7th would be 23 years of marriage. So that's pretty cool. And then, and that has, that's a whole nother story that might come out another time. But my son was a football phenom and played at Harrisonburg High School for Coach Sarver. He was recruited all over the country, ended up on scholarship at the University of North Carolina, and ultimately in the NFL playing for the New Orleans Saints. So that was a pretty cool ride. And in between, I did a lot of jobs in health and fitness over the years. And I worked at my last job before I was a full-time comedian was at James Madison University as a leadership specialist in the Duke Center, mentoring college students and leadership programs and workshops. So that's kind of the Cliff Note version.
Wow. That there's a lot of layers to you.
There is. Yes. Those are highlights.
I mean, you know, I've known you for some years now through X2, and we've formed a relationship in other ways. And I just learned so much from you right there in that question. So thank you for sharing that.
You are welcome. There are a lot of people out there that go through a lot of tough stuff quietly, quietly. And there is actually a lot of help out there, and you are not alone. And laughter is an excellent medicine as you travel through your healing journey. It's a great reset button, and it's a privilege and an honor to be able to make people laugh and have the gift to do it.
So that actually leads perfectly to the next question, which is, how did your comedic journey get started? Now, you had dreams of an acting career, so was that part of it, or...?
You know, what's really interesting is I have this bit. I think, you know, there's always that question where people are like, were you born funny or is it something you can learn? And it's, you, people have all different kinds of takes on that. But some of your greatest comedians have been through some really dark stuff. And one of my bits is, you know, is it really tough to be a comedian? And I was like, no, not really, because I had my toughest crowd at 8. is, you go through, comedy is a great tool for survival when there's chaos around you, you know? And so early on, I found a way to create peace around me through comedic endeavors. And then when I was in college and I was an acting student, my monologue in my sophomore year, That's how you perform or get graded, is by performance. I did a cowgirl monologue, and my first line is, "The world's gone to hell in a handbasket." And that monologue, I was so nervous about it when I walked out because there was so much pressure on that performance. That's another story, another layer. But I did end up getting a standing ovation. It's a bug that I had. Ultimately, I wanted to be on a sitcom, but when I transitioned to exercise science as an undergrad and graduate, that took my life in a whole different direction. And then I'm in JMU and I'm mentoring this college student who has an interest in theater. Her parents want her to pursue something else, not theater. So she, like accountant or something that they felt she could count on, would be less risky. So I shared my story with her, and I hadn't shared with anybody but my family. And she, after 3 weeks of getting to know me, she looked at me and she said, "I don't understand something. You seem to be all about people chasing their dreams. The only problem is you stop chasing yours."
Wow.
So I had, yes.
And so it began.
And so it began after I went home and I cried on Chris's shoulder.
And why is this college kid telling me these things?
And I can, what am I going to do? How am I going to do Hollywood from Harrisonburg, Virginia? It's like, what? And we went to Mr. J's on 33. And there was a flyer there for the Valley Playhouse play that Jay Zare was doing. And they were having auditions. And he said, you should go. You should try it. You should go. Oh, my gosh. Well, that was the first semester. Landon, my son, was at UNC on full ride for a scholarship. And I was trying to get out of it, going, well, you know, Landon's starting school, you know, he's like, oh, we already took him. We already moved him in. This is, I'll take him. You go do the auditions. I looked like a crazy lady walking from my house to the auditions in downtown Harrisonburg. I would walk 20 steps toward the library where the auditions were and 50 steps back. I was a hot mess. I did get there. I did audition. I did get a part with three lines. And one of those lines was, are there going to be washers and dryers on the flying saucers? It was
okay. That's
it's a different play. But, you know, he's eccentric like that. And it's really funny. He's an incredible comedic writer. And it was a lot of fun. But that began the journey, as that was a comedic play. And I just started figuring out my way from there, figured out how to do, I wanted to do film work, ultimately a sitcom. So I was like, okay, well, what's less intimidating thing I could do possible and still be a part of a big Hollywood project? So I figured out how to become a background actor on projects they were filming in the DMV area, like House of Cards and Veep, Political Animals with Sigourney Weaver. And I started doing all those things. And then I was like, okay, now I want to talk on camera. That'll be fun. And I figured out how to do that and got some work locally with independent filmmakers, making that happen. And then a group of other actors locally that were also comedic actors and did improv, we got together, the four of us, and said, well, why don't we just write some sketches and film it and put it up on YouTube. And we did that. You can look now if you want to. Friendly City Comedy. It wasn't anything regular. We just did it for fun.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of short sketches on there. So you can find me on there. They all went on to do full-time jobs and amazing things. I'm the only one still out here trying to make a go of it from Harrisonburg, Virginia. So yeah, that started that. Yeah.
You're like the Kenan Thompson of like your, like what was your version of like Harrisonburg's SNL?
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes, that's exactly right. And when we were doing that, those projects, I was like, this is so much fun. I love comedic acting the most. And then I thought, well, if you're going to get better, you should really stretch yourself. And if you're going to stretch yourself, then you should do something that really scares you. So what is the one thing that scares you the most on that will make you a better comedic actor? And that was stand-up. And that's what started it. So 2016, I was like, all right, I'm going to figure out how to do stand-up. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I should take a class.
Do any of us know what we're doing?
Right. I don't know. My friends think I'm funny, you know, when my family thinks I'm hilarious. But I don't know how to write a joke or the first thing about it or how to translate being funny with your friends or what around your friends you think is funny will translate to stage. Because it's a whole craft within itself to be respected. And the more you study it and the more you do it, the more you respect it. Yeah.
Well, you are just working me perfectly, sliding me, segueing me in perfectly to these next questions, because the next question I had for you was, where do you draw from that comedic inspiration and how do you come up with your bits?
Yes, I come up with my bits through a daily, well, not daily necessarily observations, but life observations. So going about my life, just seeing what's funny. I have on my phone, I have a notes folder, a jokes folder in there. And I'll just, if I think it's funny, I'll just jot down a couple of notes about it and a possible bit title. And then I'll take that when I'm sitting at home and spending time writing and construct jokes from there. And then life experiences. I got remarried when my son was six. This is one of bits, if you come to the show, that my son is 6'4", 335 pounds, and wears a size 17 shoe. And he's half black. What's really great when you come to a show and the funny professor goes up before me, I get to say, and now that you've met my husband, you all probably have some questions. Because my husband is a tall, trim, fit white man. And it's there's a whole experience of raising a large.
What size is Chris's shoe?
10. This is 10. And you raise this white couple, raising this gentle giant who is a football phenom. People would think he was his adopted, but that's not yeah. what happened. You know, so it's just making fun of what our life is. There's everybody has stuff in their life that just doesn't make sense to anybody else. And there's a lot of comedy in that and a lot of relatability in that comedy, because even if their story isn't that, they have other things in their life that don't make sense, that if they talked about it on stage as a comic, everyone else would laugh because they can relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what comedy is. Yes, it can be funny to your friends, but that doesn't mean it's going to be funny to everyone else. And so you want to find those bits that everyone can see themselves in some, or see someone that they know in.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Another question I have is, you know, you said you kind of write down little things and then you sit down and you write these jokes. What's the process of when is it time to take it to the stage? Like, who do you feed someone your jokes to kind of try them out with at first? Or do you just say, you know what, the hell with it? Let's just go ahead and just rip the Band-Aid off and see what happens.
There's a mix. That's a great question. There's a mix to my process, and every comic has their own process. And as you evolve as a comic, what my process now is will also evolve as I grow. But we all kind of have our own way of doing it. But we want to do, ideally, as a comic, what you want to do is you want to take your tried and true stuff to your paid professional shows. When they're paying you money, you don't want to be taking the jokes that you haven't right. been tried and tested on stage. What you want to do with the material you're working out is work it out in a workshop with other comics, people that also write or also doing the craft, or you take it to an open mic and test out the new material there. So when I'm testing out new material, I can often test it at home because I'm blessed to be married to somebody with a comedic talent. He just started doing it last year, but he's a natural. And we can feed off each other and test jokes off each other oftentimes. And then we started a group, it's an underground group, if you will. It's just a small group of local funny people that have various levels of stand-up experience. Some aspire to do it, but they have a talent for it. And some already are on our shows. And we meet, the basement comics, we meet. And each one of us will come to that meeting with 3 to 8 minutes of new/old material. And we will deliver it, get feedback from the rest of the group, and stay up there after we're done to get that feedback. Mm-hmm. And then the next one will go up. And then I'll also go to open mics in the area between here and DC to test out new material too. And then when I take it to stage on an X2 comedy show, a few of the bits may not be done, but they're tested and ready to go enough for a paid show that you know it's going to land, the punchline's going to land for the audience so that they can enjoy the show. Yeah.
So yeah, you brought up that Chris is now also doing comedy as well. Jamie's yeah. funny professor.
Yeah.
Any talk of doing like a couples bit?
Yeah, we've been getting asked that, especially after people come to shows. They're like, you guys gonna do a co-set? Cause we would really like to see that. I will say we did, by request, do a small co-set as show by a headliner who really encouraged us to do it. I will say in retrospect, we should have tested that at an open mic. He appreciated that we did that for him. He also gave us a hard time on stage about it.
So it helped out his bit.
Oh, yes, it did. It did. Thankfully, that was a small audience. But it is a memory we'll cherish. We are going to be starting to co-host some shows coming up. So we are co-hosting the EMHS fundraiser that's coming up in September. And we are also co-hosting the next event in the X2 comedy series at Court Square Theater. Most of those, there's 7 series in that time this year for the 2022 season. Most of those have been the X2 comedy traditional shows, but October 8th is a special different variety talent show where we're calling out local talent and other people regionally coming in to do the show to help raise money for the theater. And we're co-hosting that event as well. And we are looking to move in that direction. We even just started talking about, okay, what would our first co-set look like? We just did a show with a headliner on Saturday at the Elks Lodge. We work with a lot, and we asked him about it. And we're going to start with the bits that complement each other. So what it's like to be married to an overthinker, which is for him. Yeah. And me, the overthinker, what my life is as an overthinker. So just that's just one, and we're going to start building it that way.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
X2 comedy that you can bring you say PG-13 comedy, correct?
Yes, correct.
So what was the process of bringing X2 to life? Where did that originate?
That is also a wonderful story. Restless Moons Brewing, the owner, Jeff Moon, was getting his brewery started in March 2018, and he wanted to have events there, and he wanted to have comedy, and he came across Friendly City Comedy, those YouTube sketches.
Ah, yes.
Yes, and he reached out to that group and said, hey, can you all do comedy here? And the group had disbanded at that point. It was no longer active. I saw the message and reached out to the other actors and I said, hey, you all aren't doing comedy anymore, but I'm doing stand-up. You mind if I talk to Jeff? And they were like, no, go for it. So I reached out to him and told him that. And I said, well, I just started doing stand-up. I can help you get a show there though. So I talked to him. Now, mind you, at that time, I had maybe 10 minutes of material. If I stretched it, possibly 15.
And right, a lot of pauses and just looking at the audience. And
So I told him, yeah, I can do a show. Sure. And I thought, oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to have to come up with another hour. And I had, thankfully, a connection with the JMU's New and Improv troupe. And I reached out to them and said, hey, want to do the show at Restless Moons? How about I host and do about 10 minutes and you guys do an hour? You up for that? And they were like, yes. So that was our first show at Restless
Moons. That worked out well for you with your only 10 minutes of routine.
Yep. Yep. That was crazy. So we did a monthly show there for 18 months and then the pandemic hit. So yeah, that's how the X2 got started. It was with myself and Steve McClay originally at the time. And he is a local improv artist with Rocktown Improv, which was No Strings Attached originally. And he had a life change and he had to move on in 2019. So now it just became a single LLC and we're still doing it and we're still growing.
Yeah. Right now, yeah. I would say if anything bigger, I think how I met you was through, and I want to say, was it 2019?
Yeah.
That you did the
World Series comedy.
Yes, at Court Square. And I was one of the celebrity judges. And that was my first experience with X2. I'd heard of the group, again, seeing shows at Restless Moons and things like that. But that was my first experience with X2. And I feel like since then, like you've just blown up.
Well, thank you. Yeah, with a lot of support from the community who love to come out and love the shows. Comics that have been really supportive in building this from the ground up, and they've been amazing. And it just keeps growing that way. The partners that match up with us to put on events and support us by having us come do a pop-up clean comedy show at their venue. It takes a village to do something special. And it certainly
is the sense of community.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we want to continue growing that and continue to make it bigger and funner so that it's just it's a blessing to the people that live here and the people that visit here.
Which is why this podcast is called Virginia is for Laughers.
That's
and
right.
Not California is for Laughers.
That's right.
I'm sure there are laughers in California, but we're not talking about them right now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. We got it. You know what? I didn't get to go to Hollywood. So how about we just bring Hollywood to the Valley? How about that?
Look, Hollywood's getting big anyway. We need to find different places to do the same things. And no, the Valley is definitely a special place. And great to see, you know, X2 really growing and getting bigger. Might make this next question hard because, you know, you've ended up for a lot of different comedians and you've played in a lot of different places around the DMV. What has been the best night of your life in terms of comedy?
Oh my gosh. Hands down so far. Hands down, the best, I'm going to say experience, the best experience so far in comedy has been doing those first cave comedy shows inside the caves at Melrose Caverns. We did 4 shows, 1 on Friday, 3 on Saturday for that comedy music axe throwing festival, which, by the way, laughers getting the inside know because this is not everyone knows this yet, but we have simplified the name of that festival and can't.
Yes, because it was called the Lachlan. Lachlan in a cave axe throwing music.
Oh, see, this is why we needed to do something about it. So it was Lachlan in a Cave, and I will explain what that, if you haven't been there yet, a comedy music axe throwing festival. There's a lot of things to say. Brandy is laughing because she did a lot of the promotions for this festival at Q101, and they all had to deal with that. So we are simplifying it and calling it Cave Fest next year.
That actually is really good. I like that.
Yes, it's really good. And then the tagline will be a comedy music axe throwing festival so they know what it is. So the K-Fest. So I'm going to call this one the K-Fest. But we brought in Lachlan Patterson, who is, if you get into comedy at all or know anything about it, he's a pretty big deal. And we flew him in from L.A. He was our headliner. Chris Hostin opened the show. And I got to feature and open for Lachlan. And just the whole experience of doing those first cave comedy shows. We were sitting there literally minutes before the first show on Friday night. And off behind the cave stage was Lachlan, Chris, my husband, and myself. And Chris looked at me and said, "Dawn, this has to be the first cave comedy shows ever, like in history." And I said, "I don't know. It's a pretty big world out there. That seems kind of maybe."
The cavemen probably did comedy, you know. Right. You know, like,
yeah, he has a joke about that, actually. He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you got good, funny wavelength there. And then Lachlan looked at me and he said, "Dawn, I'm going to tell you something. I have been in this business for over 20 years, and I have performed in just about any place you can imagine. And I'm telling you, this is my first cave comedy show." And so then I went home that night and I was searching Google everywhere, and I could find cave comedy shows, but they were like man cave themed or bar cave themed, but I couldn't find one inside a cave. And just that whole experience and the story about how that all came to be, and just how the shows went and how the audience received it, just the experience of it, both as a performer and as a producer. It was,
and as the person that put the entire thing together.
Well, yeah. Yeah. With a team of people. See, again, you can't do anything by yourself.
Right.
But yes, it was amazing. And so cool. You go in the cave entrance about a tenth of a mile in. It opens up to where they have weddings in there. And we had it set up like a comedy show. And it was incredible. Yeah. That's a highlight.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. So now we just need to find places where comedy has not been done and do them there.
That's exactly what I like to do.
What's next?
That's exactly how I like to do it.
An ice cream truck?
Sure.
And then you can drive around doing comedy in people's neighborhoods and handing out ice cream.
I think that would be a big hit.
Just saying, if this cave thing doesn't work out, that might be the next next step.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, let's move on from stand-up comedy to, I guess, the podcast comedy. Virginia Is for Laughers. What prompted you to start this podcast? I guess because when people would ask you what there was to do, all you could say was hiking. And so you figured you probably needed to come up with something else.
A little bit of that. I've always wanted to do a podcast, but I didn't really have a great idea of what it wanted to, you know, it could be. And I thought of a million different things, but what I really wanted it to be is some sort of relationship with X2 Comedy, but not X2 Comedy, and a value add to the community. So right. As I started thinking about what would be a value add to the community, it's the way I look at shows too. What would I want? What would make me excited if I went to a show? What would I like? You know, what would I pay money for? So I was thinking, well, what would be a value add for somebody that lives here? We have lived here 17 years now. And the most common question that people ask their friends and people that live around here is, what is there to do around here besides hiking?
Mm-hmm.
Very good question. And that's what people want to know. They want to be able to go and experience. You can only do so much hiking. I mean, really, it's beautiful. We got a ton of it. We know about it. It's well-worn territory, but you can't hike all day, every day. And you can every weekend, but a lot of people don't want to.
Right.
So, yeah.
I say, as I take a sip of my beer.
Right. People love the breweries and the wineries that are popping up and the culinary district that is growing and thriving. Mm. And there are a lot of interesting historical places around here. And then there's just the Shenandoah Valley history and culture, the Mennonite and Brethren, and it's a unique place, and there's a lot of wonderful places to visit and see and experience living here and visiting here. So mm-hmm. Why not highlight that? And so that's where the idea came from. And then I had some mentorship from one of the headliner comedians I work with, has done a podcast for 5 years, sat down with me on a Zoom call, and we kind of just worked out the details. And that's how it's related to X2 Comedy. We promote the shows, yes, but we also interview interesting people that live here and things that you can do and see and have fun with our guests while we're at it.
Right.
Yeah.
What, besides episode number 20, has been my favorite podcast interview?
You are so hilarious. That was one of my favorite interviews, by the way. You're a natural.
I hope so, because I'm back interviewing you.
It was fun, though. We've had a lot of great guests on here. The comedians certainly have been hilarious, and I've enjoyed every single one of those. Just, you know, like-minded people having a good time. I would say a couple that really stand out to me are actually the top two episodes that have the most listens so far. Spencer Hatcher is our number one listened to podcast.
Big what deal.
You know what? I think that young man is going places. Yeah. I mean, he already is. I think he's
a TikTok star.
I know, almost like the next Elvis in the making, you know, except country star, you know.
Mm-hmm.
really is. And it's just a wonderful young man, very talented. And that was a really cool interview. And then the other one is surprisingly number two, you would think, but it makes sense when you listen to it. It's 47 Years on Trains with Kevin Kenzie, a railroad conductor who's retired now, but he spent 47 years as a career as a railroad conductor with trains that went through the Shenandoah Valley. So it has some history of railroad history of our area.
Crooked and Weedy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And just some, it's really fascinating. Now, it's a little, a different personality, you know, but it was very interesting. And that's what I really liked about it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think railroad conductors, you don't think, you know, like comedian.
No, no. But you got to, you know, he's been in that job for 47 years. So there's been a lot of evolution in mm-hmm. transportation and railroad transportation in that time. And you get to also learn about that on the podcast as well. And four people that used to work on the engines as a team, and it's because of technology actually down to two, and they want to get it down to one. And he kind of talks about that whole evolution of what it was when he started to what it is now. It is really cool.
What a way to travel too,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way, in the kind of life that he had, and mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. So I appreciate that. But I like history. So those are probably my
about having some of the comedians on this podcast, and you've obviously, you know, opened up for a lot of comedians. Who do you consider to be the funniest, or I guess maybe your favorite comedian? I know you obviously you got him here for the cave. You spoke very yes. highly of Lachlan, but yes. who else, if anyone else?
I'm going to tell you, Joel Byers is going to give me a hard time. And I love you, Joel, but he also was there when I said this at the Cross Keys Vineyard show. But I believe that Winston Hodges one day will be a household name in comedy. I mean, he is just crushing it. The work ethic is there. And we just had him headline for us at the Elks Lodge on Saturday. If you're a comedian and you do this craft, this is going to be even more impressive to you. But this man, this comic, did 45 minutes of straight up crowd work, and it was hilarious, and he crushed it.
Yeah, I actually, that was one of the X2 shows that I went to at Court Square earlier in the year, and he was the headliner, and I think he stayed on for an extra 20 minutes after his set was done and just threw out some test jokes, and I thought it was a great night. So yeah. I can see why that was one of the names that came up for sure.
Yes. Yes. And I remember, that's why I say Joel Byers is going to give me a hard time, because when we were at Cross Keys Vineyards, I had Winston open up for Joel, and Joel is really awesome and amazingly hilarious. But I introduced the feature as I believe one day he's going to be a household name. Winston went up there and crushed it, right? And then I introduced Joel. I didn't say that. Joel gets up there. And Joel had a fun time with that.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it's just me, Joel. Don't mind me.
Yeah. He's like, household name over here. One of the most amazing shows we have had, though, was that night, too. Oh, they're all amazing. I believe in all of our shows. But yeah, some of them just, they're all different. You got to be there. It's an experience for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would you like to get on the podcast to interview? Is there anyone that like you've been trying to get that you just haven't had a chance to nail them down yet? Or maybe like you have a dream list that at night you're like, oh, maybe one day.
A dream list. Yeah, I have more of a dream list because the podcast is definitely built organically, like the business of X2 Comedy is built organically. So more of a dream list. I would love to interview Sebastian I'm gonna
the crab?
No,
not the crab from Little Mermaid. Okay,
no, Sebastian the comedian. I'm gonna his pronunciation of his last name. Manna, I'm gonna botch it up. But Sebastian, I'll put a link for you all in the show notes.
Everyone, just Google Sebastian the comedian.
Yes,
I'm sure there aren't that many Sebastians.
Yes,
that do stand up.
And Sinbad, I would love to interview Sinbad. What an incredible comedic genius he is. That would be a complete dream. Jim Gaffigan would also be amazing to me. Would love to interview him. Yeah.
That's a mighty fine list, I have to say.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Well, I'll start writing to their fan clubs and see what we can make happen. Or maybe we'll just send this audio clip to them and see what we can make happen.
That would be awesome. Sebastian can give me a hard time. Hey, Sebastian, I just didn't want to, botch up your last name.
Right, yeah.
I'm trying to respect you. I went to your show. I watch all your clips. You're the best.
And we hope to see you soon or hear you soon, Sebastian.
That's all. You know what? Real big famous names. So you just go by their first name, right? J-Lo? Sebastian? Does he need...
Well, J-Lo is two of her names combined.
Oh. Well, there are other famous people that combine that name. Brandy.
Right. Not me, but the other Brandy. That's why I can't just go by Brandy. So, yes. I get it. Podcast Virginia is for Laughers is for everything in the valley, non-hiking. So what do you do besides hiking in the Shenandoah Valley?
I love to go to wineries. That's one of my favorite pastimes on the weekend, is to check out the wineries in the Shenandoah Valley. I was just looking at the Shenandoah Wine Trail magazine for myself personally, but also for potential podcast guests. And there are more wineries that I can explore in the valley. So that is definitely what I like to do. I like to check out shows and live entertainment.
Goes hand in hand with the winery sometimes.
Yes, it does. I've seen Brandy perform at Marceline and other various.
Me, Brandy, not Brandy.
No, not Brandy. That other Brandy. The
one
brand
Brandy.
This two named Brandy Lindsay.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I went to see. But yeah, and I'm getting into other music. Music is, I love music, but I can't say I'm a connoisseur. But what is happening in the journey of doing this podcast is meeting other musicians and really appreciating their talent and what they do, and more of X2 comedy combining with music and making it, now comedy and music events sometimes. And so that's a growing, a new adventure for me in the Shenandoah Valley, is to check out the live music around the valley. Yeah.
Yeah, have you ever thought about A-Fest? Maybe a different take on it, too, is because I've seen some X2 comedians that have actually come out with guitar, and that's their comedy. And have you ever thought about maybe, since you're combining comedy and music, actually getting these funny musicians to be a part of it?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we were working on that with Kyle Remnant, who is a rising local comedic talent. He does play the guitar and he does make it a part of his bits sometimes, or his sets sometimes. He was the music point man for the Cave Fest, and that was because
he was very good at his stuff.
He was coming off playing a lead role in the Oak Grove Theater production right before that Cave Fest. It finished like the Thursday night before Cave Fest started. So he was kind of washed out for a minute.
Yeah.
That's the role he played for the Cave Fest for us this year. But I do see people like him being more and more a part of it. Yeah. Those I mean, I respect the craft of stand-up, but then when you mix music with it, I'm just, what?
Yeah. And see, K-Fest already rolling off the tongue so much more eloquently than the comedy axe-throwing music festival.
That's probably, yeah. See, probably were like, some people are like, I don't know if I can go to that. I can't even fall asleep before I finish reading the end of the title.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the comedian the one throwing axes in the cave? Like, they think it's like a juggling.
Right.
That's a whole nother thing. He's playing guitar and juggling axes while doing comedy.
I know. I think they got. Yeah. Yeah. I was a little bit confused.
Evolution of Cave Fest.
It could be. Although I think people that have been there now this year, they got to understand what it is and are already excited and telling their friends about next year. So put it on your calendars, people. We already have dates. July 15th and 16th. It'll be a Saturday and Sunday, 2023.
Awesome. Awesome. I got a couple more questions for you, if that's okay.
That's all right.
And these are completely random because sometimes I feel like I need to just throw out random questions that are completely unrelated or have nothing to do with really what you are doing right now. But in the future, after you, you know, are known as the person that did that organized the first ever Cave Fest, and after you have gone viral because a comedian was juggling axes and guitars in the cave, and they do a movie about your life, who is going to play Don Davis Womack? Who would you like to see play you?
Oh, what a great question. Well, somebody funny. Of course. Well,
yes. Now, but if the script is right, then, you know, it works out for itself.
Yeah. Who would play me? You know, a Tina Fey would be good.
That's a good choice. And the glasses, too. So that works out.
Yeah. Tina Fey would be good. I feel like Tina Fey understands. I mean, I don't know if she's ever talked about trauma, but I just feel like there's a soul sister there, you know?
And so that's a good selection. I'm going to see that movie.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she's
already going because I know you, but I'm definitely going now. Tina Fey's the first billing, sure.
Yeah, she's amazing. I see the layers there. Yeah, I think she'd nail it. Yeah.
All right, well, that was a great answer. Let's move on to the next question. Okay. You talked about a little bit earlier about how your comedy journey kind of started with trying to be a leader and an inspiration to college kids and it actually being turned around on you. So if you're not doing your dream job now, what is your dream job? Or is there something that you've always wanted to do that you just had the time to do? Or I know you talked about, you know, going to college for acting. Is that anything you'd still like to pursue, like a big Hollywood career? Are you just kind of cool with now?
I still very much would love to be a character on a sitcom, a hit series sitcom. It doesn't have to necessarily start out that way or actually even be that, but I could definitely see myself on a Parks and Rec or The Office or a Seinfeld. Kooky, a little bit crazy, you know, and comical. I tend to play, I mean, I've been given roles where I play the kooky aunt or, you know, maybe the suburban housewife that's had one too many cocktails, that kind of thing already.
Are you, I'll say, are you playing or do you show up? Are you a method actor?
I am professional when I am paid, but after the show, or, you know, no, I am responsible, Brandy, so you can count on me, but I do like to have fun.
Mentioning sitcoms, what is your favorite sitcom?
Because
you just threw out a couple right there, but they're all kind of, The Office and Parks and Rec, different in their, it's the same, but different in their own ways. And then Seinfeld's like a whole other thing. Like, you either like Seinfeld or you don't like Seinfeld. There's two different types of people in the world.
That's true. That's true. I gotta tell you, that was it. Was it this time last year? I think it was about this time last year. I just got this bug to binge watch Frasier. And I cannot get enough of Frasier and those two brothers. The whole thing. That is by far my all-time favorite sitcom.
And isn't Frasier a spinoff from Cheers?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. 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 That's the one I'm rewatching right now is Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So common link right there.
Very yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. There's a lot of great sitcoms. There's a sitcom out right now. I am just going to, nobody's paying me to say this, but I'm going to promote it. It's called Loot, L-O-O-T, with Maya Rudolph, and it's hysterical. Hysterical. You have to check it out.
I can't think of anything I've ever seen Maya Rudolph in that wasn't hysterical, so I'm going to take your word for it on that.
Oh, it's so great. She's got more money than most of us could ever dream of having. And she discovers early on that her husband was unfaithful. And then what happens after, as she's dealing with all of that, you gotta watch it.
Right. What is that on?
Oh my gosh. I think Hulu.
Hulu?
I think so.
Jotting it down.
Well, let me see. I'll look it up while you ask me the next question. Well, so we don't have to.
Well, yeah. Actually, it's funny because the next question is actually
Apple TV, Loot.
Oh, okay.
So where you watch Ted Lasso in the morning show, that's where you want to watch Loot.
Well, I will be borrowing your password after this is done. And your username. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. That could be my currency for doing this doing this interview.
That's right. Yeah. That can be worked out.
Last questions is actually again, this is all about flipping it and reversing it. So what question would you like to answer that never gets asked to you? So really, this is me. Now I'm being lazy and I'm just gonna let you question and answer it.
What question do I want to be asked? I've not really ever thought of that. I don't sit around going, why don't they ask me whatever fill in blank? You know? Gosh, that's such a great question. Maybe more about what you see in the future for X2 comedy. Some people
that was actually my next question, Dawn. You weren't supposed to, that's not what you were supposed to say.
Well, I don't know what you're telling you, Brandy.
That's the question that you asked. Okay. Thank you for giving it to me. What do you have in the future, whether that is X2 or maybe some other venture, maybe doing more with the podcast? What is in the future for Dawn?
Well, more growing X2 comedy to a place. Where have you ever seen or heard of the Catskills in Upper State New York? Does that ring a bell with you? Okay. So back in the 50s, 60s, a little bit early 70s, there was a place called the Catskills, and it was basically a summer vacation area. People, you know, the affluent started to go there, but then, you know, for the whole like 6 weeks or summer or whatever. But then they created it so people would spend a week there, a couple of weeks there. It became the vacation spot where entertainers and musicians would come and perform and do live entertainment there. And it was a really special place. And I would like to move in a direction where we create that here, but we call it the Rockskills. Oh. And it becomes a place where we become known as an entertainment mecca for people that live here and people that travel here. Put comedy and music on the map here.
And more K-Fest.
And more K-Fest. There is more than one K, by the way.
Well, I was going to say, maybe it should be a Shenandoah Valley cave tour.
Could be.
Tour.
Could be. So you cave owners out there that are listening, You can reach out to me. But I don't
actually. Yeah, that's kind of where I want to close this up at is where can we find you next and how can we get in contact with you? Where can we find out about your upcoming shows?
You can visit x2comedy.com. That's where you'll find me performing here locally and regionally in the Shenandoah Valley, because I put myself and book myself on the shows with those other comics that are local, regional, and national touring. Now, I will say when I'm performing in the Valley, I do shorter sets because you see me more frequently and that keeps it fresh for you as an audience member. And then more stage time is given to the comedians that are traveling through or the local comedians that we're helping build their career. So that's why we do that. So that's the best way to keep track of where I'm performing locally. And you can shoot an email there. We can put this in the show notes for you as well. bookx2comedy@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Dawn Davis Womack. I don't have a TikTok yet. People keep trying to talk me into it.
That's also part of your future plans.
Yeah, so we'd eventually like to have a venue, and I have some big visions and big ideas about that. So, yeah.
And real quick, because this is a little bit separate from X2, but tell us again about the EMHS fundraiser.
Yes, Fan the Flame. It is a fundraiser to raise money for Eastern Mennonite High School, and they are going to have music and dinner and a live auction. The auction items will also be available online, but it's going to be way more fun to be there in person. You can go to EMHS's website to get ticket information. Also, there is information on x2comedy.com, which is very exciting. And JMU's funny professor Chris Womack and myself will be co-hosting the live auction portion of the evening. And we don't know what's going to happen or exactly how we're going to do it, but we're funny and funny together. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, Dawn, thank you for coming to your show today. I really appreciate it that you showed up.
Yes. Here I am. I did it.
A lot of fun. Actually, like now that I'm done with it, I'm like, okay, that wasn't that bad. I think I actually came over prepared, which I guess isn't a horrible thing.
No, you knocked it out of the park, Brandy.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. And laughers, you can see Dawn perform live around the Valley on the X2 comedy shows with other hilarious local, regional, and national touring comedians that she books. Again, you can visit x2comedy.com. These are incredibly fun and amazing shows. Like I said, I've been to some of them and I always have a blast. For a list of upcoming shows, you can head to the website. Plus, something new that you have going on. You mentioned your husband, Chris Womack, JMU's funny professor. You guys are going to be doing new classes where you're going to be actually kind of what inspired you to get into comedy. These comedy workshops, these are going to be happening October 30th. At Hotel Madison in downtown Harrisonburg, and inspired by the first classes that you took. So you're hoping that someone else will face their fears and have some fun from the supportive workshop, right?
That's right. And I would just say to that, whether you want to pursue stand up or not, if you always wanted to just know how it works and try it out, this is the perfect class for you, whether you want to pursue it or not. It'll teach you how to be funnier in your presentations at work. Maybe if you have to do a toast at a party, etc. Like it will help you in your own professional endeavors as well.
Yeah. And it's going to end with a graduation showcase. So you'll get to actually show off the skills that you've developed and learned throughout the weeks of this workshop.
That's right. And it will be at the workshops and classes are all at the Hotel Madison, along with the showcase. Right.
All right. Limited spots available too. So you don't want to wait on this.
No.
And you can get more info on that by visiting x2comedy.com, which should already be bookmarked anyway, because we told you to go there earlier. But we'll also be sure to put in Dawn's contact info in the show notes, as well as X2 Comedy's website in case you didn't bookmark it. And in the meantime, be sure to tune in weekly for this Virginia is for Laughers podcast, for new episodes. I will not be the host next time, but Dawn, you'll still be here.
Yes, I will do it.
And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, well, I don't know, should you say until next time?
You should say it.
Okay. Until next time, I won't be here next time, but until next time, smiling, and Dawn will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.